Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. So, Jane, what do you have any podcasts in your rotation?
No.
No podcasts? Just radio?
I'm a bad person.
You're not a bad person.
I'm just an older person, and that just isn't, although I know a lot of older people who do. We listen to podcasts.
You can't find your niche yet?
No, I don't want to listen to it. You know what I mean? When I'm done from here, I want to take a break.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. All right. Well, our next guest knows a lot about podcasting. He's actually the mayor of Podcast Town, which is his actual title. Podcast Town is a full service podcast company that helps businesses grow their revenue through podcasting. And he's also launched the Podcast Town Academy. LZ Flanard, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
And so the mayor, is that a self-appointed name, the mayor of Podcast Town?
So, yes and no. I actually got the name from a marketing coach. We were in a meeting and we were talking strategy about where I wanted the company to go. And he pauses for a second and he stares off into space, which is always really dangerous for a creative to do. And he looks at me and he says, LZ, you know what? You're the mayor. The way you show up, the way you preside, the way you connect people, the way you just go about your business, I'm going to call you the mayor of Podcast Town. And so we started testing it out on social media. And a funny thing happened. My mom calls me one day. She's like, well, you know, if I lived in Wisconsin, I vote for you. And at first, I didn't know what she was talking about because, you know, I'm just going about my day. And I realized she's talking about the social media post that I put saying that I'm running for mayor of Podcast Town. I was like, no, mom, not a real mayor. Just this is a marketing campaign. And so figured that it probably has some legs. And so we just ran with it.
Where is this Podcast Town? Where is it in Wisconsin? But in reality, you are based in Brookfield, right?
Well, actually, our main location is in Wauwatosa in the Mayfair Collection. There's a co-working space, Expansive, there. So that was our initial studio. But this year, we actually have expanded into Brookfield as well. So we have two locations now.
Oh, that's great. So how did you get into podcasting?
It was almost on accident. I was really sucking it up in terms of my side hustles, trying to figure out how to make them my main hustle. And I figured that the best way for me to make up that knowledge gap was to interview business people who were running successful businesses. And at the time, podcasting wasn't as popular as it is now. So I said, I know what I'll do. I'll start a podcast. I'll get pretty good at listening. I'll ask a couple of good questions and I'll just shut up and listen. I'll ask them the questions that I want to know for my business. So that's what I did. I launched my podcast back in 2016 and just learned from them, learned so much about business and about things to do, things not to do. And that's how we got here today. And I'm kind of fell in love with the medium.
So were you pursuing different entrepreneurship endeavors before starting the agency? That's why you wanted to interview all these business people?
Oh, that is such a loaded question, Kristen. I've done so many businesses, we would be here all day. But to answer your question succinctly, yes, I've tried a lot of different things. And again, I knew that there was something missing. Like I was trying all these things and nothing would work. And so that's where the podcast came in is because I met so many fantastic, brilliant business people. And they just, and I don't have to tell you, when people get on the radio and on podcasts, they just, they become these experts and they tell you all the stuff. And so that was my education in entrepreneurship, to be quite honest.
So then the show itself then turned into an agency. So what does what does Podcast Town, the agency, do?
Yeah. So our jam, if you will, is helping businesses grow their revenue through podcasting. Looks a little different for every business, but essentially we help them meet their revenue goals using a podcast. So there's some marketing that happens. There's production. There's creative segments and all the stuff that goes into crafting a podcast brand. And then we help them bring in new customers using their show.
And then, so there's that side of it, but then you just launched recently launched the Academy side, correct?
Yes.
So what does that look like?
Yeah, so basically the Academy is me dumping my brain out and sharing all the lessons and the things that I've learned over the years about not only podcasting, but just relationship building, building trust. How do you how do you get attention, right? Because at the end of the day, we're all in the attention business, because you can't sell anybody anything or build a relationship unless you first get their attention, right? And so it's taking those lessons and helping businesses on a group level understand how to leverage their content to benefit their business. And so we're offering different levels of classes. We're offering groups, group sessions. We're also offering youth classes, where we're teaching life lessons through podcasting, how to show up on time, how to show up a certain way every time, consistency, how to work as a team, all of those things through the lens of podcasting.
Our guest right now is Elsie Flanard, who is the mayor of Podcast Town, which is both a full service podcast company and also, as he was just saying, a new academy. So what are the different classes? As someone, you know, is it more for someone who's brand new, who wants to do something on their own, like a sports podcast, because God knows we don't have enough of those? Or is it more for the business-minded person who, like, I guess the difference is, like, is it for people who would also potentially be customers of yours from the agency side, or is it more kind of for anyone who just wants to learn more about podcasting?
I would say both. The program is more geared for people who want to treat their podcast like a brand. So I will say that difference. So if you're a hobbyist, we're probably not the best solution. But if you want to make money from your podcast at some time or some point, or you want to use it to build those relationships, it's for those folks. So it could be run the gamut of different types of people, but it's more of the end goal is what we're shooting for. So if you're a person out there that wants to launch a podcast that someday you want to either replace or supplement your day job, or you're an existing business owner who wants to leverage their existing podcast or launch a new one, the Academy is perfect for you.
Elsie, are there any hard and fast rules about podcasts? I mean, it has to be 13 minutes long, and it should always have music. And, you know, what are some of the, because I know nothing about podcasting, so what are some of the real basics?
So some of the real basics, and this is going to sound cheesy, but having fun is important. I am in the season of my life where if it does not bring me joy, I simply don't do it. So that's super important. Understanding why you're doing the show in the first place. Because a lot of people, they launch a show because it's popular, or they think that they're going to become the next Joe Rogan. And most likely you're not. That's just the reality of
it,
right?
And one of him is enough.
Yeah, I won't comment on that. But really understanding why you want to do it, having concrete goals on what you want to accomplish, and really just having fun. There are no rules in terms of format and how long it should be. There are some guidelines, right, that depending on what you want to do, you might want to consider. But the thing I love about it so much is it's open. It depends on what your listener wants and what you want to do. So that's the thing that I really love about it is there technically are no rules, right? Like I said, there are some guidelines depending on what type of show you want to build, but it's really a great medium to build and nurture relationships.
So if there's no like hard and fast rules, are there mistakes? Are there common mistakes you see people make when they're trying to start a podcast?
Oh boy, another loaded question, Kristen. Yes, I think the biggest mistake, again, that people make is like, they don't know why they're doing it. They're not paying attention to the details and the quality of their work and focusing on the craft. A lot of times people ask me, what is the number one skill that people need to have? And you would think that that would be talking, but it's not. Is actually listening. Listening is harder. It's easier said than done. But developing those listening skills, understanding when a question lands well, or when a question does not land well, how to control and navigate a conversation and really move people to a common connection point, I would say is the biggest mistake that people make is just not paying attention to those soft skills.
How do you teach someone how to do that, though? Asking because I have a husband who doesn't always listen very well. Just kidding.
I won't go there, but that's what the Academy is all about, is really bringing people into a space where they can learn from somebody who has experience in the area. And we can walk them through some of those things and teach them how to get better in those areas.
So how many classes are you teaching? Because you've already had a full-time job. So how are you balancing this with the customers, and how many classes a week are you teaching?
Well, so I don't have a full-time job now. I mean, this podcast town is my full-time job at this point.
I guess I meant more with the customers, because you're balancing having customers that you're working with the curriculum, correct?
Oh, well, see, that's where having a great team comes in. They, on the production side, they're taking care of customers, they're answering emails and making sure that we're good to go that way. And so I can focus my attention on, you know, right now until it grows to the point where it's beyond me. Right now, I am the instructor, right? The chief bottle washer for the Academy, but I have a fantastic team that handles 95% of the production. And so they do a phenomenal job at taking care of our clients residents.
I love the ongoing pun of the mayor of Podcast Town, the residents of Podcast Town. Just how many other things can you? Who's the Secretary of Commerce? The deputy mayor. All right. Well, when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit more about what you see as the difference between podcasting and radio, because Jane and I have had this conversation before, because especially because you have with the Academy and the studio that you have a live audience component of it. And so I'm interested to hear a little bit more about how the two mediums overlap and still what makes them distinctly different to you. Our guest this half hour is Elsie Flanard, who is the mayor of Podcast Town. Stick with us. He'll still be here when we get back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
He's the one I'm leaving you for.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is the mayor of Podcast Town, Elsie Flanard. So Jane and I have talked about this before, Elsie, and Jane has worked in radio for 40 years. I'm pretty new to radio. I only started in the last year a little bit and officially full-time in July. So what do you see as the difference between podcasting and radio?
Well, had you asked me that question 4 years ago, I would say there's a ton of differences. I think more and more there are fewer differences. I think right now the you know, as big brands have gotten into podcasting, there's been a settling, if you will, on the difference between podcasting and radio. For a number of years, podcasting was sort of the independent, kind of straight to the point content that people on demand that sort of feel. But now that's changed. A lot of radio stations also have podcasts, and a lot of stations are slightly adjusting how they deliver content. So the biggest difference, I think, is the expectation and the audience. I think the radio audience still skews older. Podcast listeners tend to skew younger. But I think more and more, they're very, very closely related. I think they're very not so distant cousins that that I think play well together in the content generating market.
Because one of the things, Jane, when we first talked about this was the fact that we can still, we take live callers. We have live text messages, we have live callers who can still call in and be part of the show. But that's what I thought was interesting when I was reading about Podcast Town and the studio that you have, and that there's an ability to have a live audience. And so that also kind of, I mean, I don't know if the intent for that is to just have the laugh track in the background or have people ask questions live, but what was the motivation to feel like that needed to be part of the studio, as being able to have people there live as an audience?
Oh, it looks like Elsie, I think Elsie froze.
Speaking of technology.
Yes, he is frozen.
Do you have any reaction to what he said as far as being...
I find it really interesting because obviously, and we've talked about this before with Brooke, that...
Elsie, are you there?
He's trying.
I am.
Oh, there we go. Perfect.
All right, great.
The lovely internet. Yeah. So, to your point, that's exactly why we do that. I think when you talk about delivering content, I think it's super important to have that live element to it, which is the thing that in the past has made radio so powerful. And I think more and more podcasters are looking for that. That engagement, that level of engagement where, for example, last week, actually, we had a live version of my show where we had a live studio audience where they could ask the guests questions. They could reiterate things that they thought they heard and really get that in-person, real-time feedback. So I think to your point, that's exactly the reason why, you know, more and more podcasters are doing things like live shows and live events for that feedback and that engagement, because being one way is great, but having that one-to-one 3D, as I call it, feedback is super important.
And then I guess my final question is, what would you say, because like you said, being the next Joe Rogan or even creating the next Serial podcast that just takes the nation by everyone was listening to it. It's such a saturated medium. It's become such a saturated medium, largely, I think, because there is a low barrier to entry as far as you need a microphone and commitment. And otherwise, you can kind of introduce yourself into the podcast world, but there's millions of podcasts now. And so for someone who has an idea, but like, what would you say to them as far as the arguments as to why to go for it?
Yeah. I push back a little bit on it being saturated, because okay, if you look at how many websites there are, or how many people have YouTube channels or blog posts, it's not even close in terms of ratios. So I think there's still a cool opportunity for people to leverage the medium. The other thing I would say is the best way is, I'll give you a quick analogy. So when I graduated college, I graduated with a degree in electronics. The same year I graduated, there were probably, and I don't have the science or the facts behind this, but there were probably hundreds of thousands of other people who also had the exact same degree that I had. And I never once thought, oh my goodness, it's saturated, I'm not going to get a job. Because I knew that nobody's going to do electronics like me. Nobody has my personality. Nobody has. So I think just really understanding that nobody is going to have the message that you have that's meant to serve the people that you are meant to serve. So just do it. If you're thinking about launching a show, just do it.
That is a really good message.
It is a really good message. So what if my passion, Elsie, is tulips and I want to do a podcast only about tulips? How will tulip people find me?
Well, social media is huge, but I think if actually the more niche your podcast is, the better, because you're going to create the best, deepest, most collaborative tulip community on the face of this planet. So if you can find 500 to 1,000 other tulip lovers, you are golden.
I'm going to be the mayor of Tulip Land.
The mayor of Tulip Town. I love it.
All right. Well, Elsie, where can people find all of the information if they want to get more, learn more about Podcast Town, either as an agency or an academy?
The best way is the website, podcasttown.net. Or you can email me. I'm always in front of my phone at mayor@podcasttown.net.
Very easy, very straightforward. All right, well, thank you so much for joining us. This was so fun as far as, and I think you're right. Maybe no one else can, no one else, there's only one you, as they would say, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Just do it. Do a podcast. Everybody, podcast for everybody.
Everyone get a microphone. Everyone take their best idea and just do it. All right. Elsie Flanard, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been very fun. All right. We'll be back in a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.